Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come before Thee this afternoon hour again. And with thankful hearts, we have this opportunity to come before Thee, look into Thy holy and precious Word, to be fed of Thee, strengthened in our faith, to feed the inner man. And so as we look to Thee, Heavenly Father, we call upon Thee, and with grace and favor, look down upon us, bless our being together, as we call upon Thee in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With God's help, I'd like to read out of the book of St. Matthew, chapter 13. St. Matthew, chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. And therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, but ye shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they are closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And when any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which is sown in the heart. This is he which received the seed by wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. He hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hath that word, heareth the word, and careth the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he become unfruitful. And he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understand it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. May God bless the reading of our word. As Christ stood and taught, he wanted the people to understand. And so he spoke to them in these parables. This parable we read here is a familiar parable. Heard it many times, I'm sure. And so what we have here is an explanation somewhat of the parables. In this same chapter, if we were to read on, it talks about many more parables that he taught about the kingdom of God and so forth. And so the disciples then wondered, why are you teaching them in parables? If we read in Luke, it actually says that. Why teaches them in parables? And so Christ, in this chapter, gives us an explanation to somewhat of that. Because it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now referring to them, he's referring to the nation of Israel. We got to understand something here. There, this is where Christ's teachings were mainly. He came and he taught when it came to his own first. And this is what he has done here. There's many gathered around. Even in the book of Luke, it talks about there were many women even that came that helped him and that serviced him and so forth. And they came. And it was all gathered around, like the brother prayed, that they were so many that he had to get into the boat, go into the, cast off into the water. And then, of course, that's a good place if you've ever been on the water, your voice really carries. I know that there's been times when we were boating on the lakes, and sometimes people talk over the sound of the motor, and so they have to talk pretty loud. And as a result of that, that sound really carries. And people that are on the shore that don't have any sound around them, they can hear you very well. So I believe that there's a good reason why Christ went into the boat on the edge of the water to teach these people these parables. As he mentions here, he says, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So he gives, he wanted his disciples to know and understand. They really didn't understand at first in this parable. What's this about the sower? What do you mean by this seed? And it falls into these different places. They didn't quite grasp it either. And so until he explained the parable to them, they really didn't understand what it meant. And so this is why we see here that, as he mentions here, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And you would wonder, why then, if Christ came for his own, why wouldn't he want them to understand? Well, when we think about the mysteries, what are the mysteries that they didn't understand? What was so mysterious about his teachings? It mentions here that many of the prophets and many of the righteous men desired that they could see what they see and what they hear. And so, to talk in parables, and then for them not to understand it, it's almost like it don't make sense here. But you see, the reason that they couldn't understand it, because he says here, therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and not understand, and seeing ye shall not see, and shall not perceive. So you see, it's somewhat prophesied that these people are going to be this way, and they're not going to hear, and they're not going to understand it. But you got to understand something here. The Israelite people rejected him. They wouldn't accept him. They didn't want to accept his doctrine, his message. It seemed foreign to them because they were so bent and learned and taught by the way of Moses and the Ten Commandments and so forth that this is, and then of course they added all kind of other, the Pharisees and them added all kind of other commandments to go with it. And so there was dull of hearing, if you, as he mentions here. And it's not to mention that it was prophesied that they're going to be this way. And if you think, and if you read back in the Old Testament and read in the book of Isaiah, how many times he came, he was told to go and tell the people, and they just did not listen. They did not pay attention. They went their own ways. And he, and many of the prophets, the same way. Try to teach what God wanted them to know, how he wanted them to live. He would strategically place them so that they would be a witness and a testimony for him. And instead, they went into their idolatry. They went into all kinds of different ways that did not bring honor to God. They didn't respect God. And as a result, their hearts became hardened. And this is what he's talking about here, that Esaias said was prophesied. As he says here, for this people is waxed gross. This people's heart is waxed gross. In other words, it didn't matter what Christ said, there was no penetrating their gross heart. Now you see, Christ, or the scriptures teach us that God wants a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And what that means is humble yourself before the Lord, accept what you read and what you hear, and the plan of salvation, and it's a very simple, plain way, nothing complicated about it. And so they would ignore this. They did not want to hear this. This is a new doctrine, and as a result, their heart become so waxed, they couldn't hear it. And that's why he said, with ears, you can't hear. You can't even see with your eyes. Because you have focused yourself on away from the doctrine of Jesus Christ so far that you couldn't even grasp the meaning. And so that's why it says here, he spoke to them in parables. And so he says, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand their heart with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, there were many that did turn to the Lord. There were many Jews that did come to the knowledge of the truth and accepted him as such. But the nation in whole, by and large, refused him. And this is why he points out to us here in this scripture that it was why he spoke in parables, because they already had their minds made up. Their heart was waxed, their ears were dull, their eyes they could not see. And you know, when you think about it, are the people much different than that today? You speak to someone about their soul salvation, and it's almost like, what are you talking about? And someone that's never been churched, if you will, never been raised in around church, a lot of kids have never been to Sunday school. This is the kind of society we're living in. And that might sound foreign to us. But the only reason that it sounds foreign to us, because maybe we have never involved ourselves into telling people about our soul salvation, haven't told anybody about what Christ has done for us, and maybe we haven't even spread this doctrine of Jesus Christ. And it's sad to say that, yes, there are people, many of them, that their eyes are dull, their ears can't hear, their heart is waxed. I'm talking about the people in general. And of course, you got them that are just attend church. Sure, they go there, and not to condemn or judge anyone, but they spend their hour in church, and away they go, and that's it. That's all they need. Maybe for some people that's enough. I don't know. But to me, I find it needful and necessary to seek to spend the day like today, beautiful as it is. It would be a wonderful afternoon to go out and maybe hit a few golf balls or just go on a little hike or just go sightseeing, you know. But no, I found it necessary to be here in church. And that's partly because maybe the way I'm raised. But since I've been converted, and since I learned this way of Jesus Christ, I want to absorb as much as I can through God's word. It doesn't matter who stands up here. That we want to learn and understand, not to allow our hearts become waxed and gross and don't hear and don't see. And believe me, if Satan has half a chance, this he will do for any one of us. If he can draw us, our attention away from the Word of God, if he can draw us away from attending church, if he can draw us away from reading his Word or praying, any way that he can do, this is what he'll do. And he'll see to it that your heart will become waxed just like the Israelite people, no different. You stay, it's like they say, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's exactly the way the Word of God is. If you don't use it, if you don't read it, you don't study it, you will lose it. You won't remember. You won't know it. And this is just opposite of what God wants for us. He wants us to know what it says in his word. He wants us to learn it, understand it. And he don't want no one's heart to gross, wax, and close off. Shut our ears and our eyes to the truth. And so this is why he speaks in parables. This is why he talks to them, and he wants them to hear. He wants them. That's why he says here, "The blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And that's us. Blessed are we, because we have the desire to want to come and hear the Word of God. And we have a desire to see what it has for our lives. And we're blessed by that. We come to church and we hear the Word of God and we feel blessed because God has spoken to us. It's because we listened, because we heard. We didn't fall asleep. We paid attention. And that's good. Very good. And this is what God wants for us. He wants us to be able to hear. Because he says, For verily I say unto many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and not seen them, or hear those things which ye have heard and not hear them. So that we have that longing and that desire, just as those prophets did, but they never had, it seems like they never got the message like we get it today. Today we can hear it, we can see it numerous times. If we want to, if we have a desire, and we long for it. And so this is why I believe here that he goes and talks then about this parable, and he tells them, explains it to them. As he says here, the word of the kingdom is understood. Or when anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understand not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which soweth in his heart. This is which received the seed by the wayside. And so you see, that was an allegory. That was an example. That was a way of for them to understand. They understood what sowing seeds were all about. You and I maybe don't quite understand that because we're not farmers. We don't sow seed, and so we don't maybe really grasp what that means to let the seed fall along the wayside, and then it comes up, and as he says here, they didn't understand, and this evil one comes along and takes it away. That's the person that his heart is already somewhat waxed gross, and his ears are dull of hearing. And so when Satan comes along, you don't have any trouble taking away. You walk out them doors and you go into your daily life, and next tomorrow morning you get up and go on your way. You forgot everything you heard today. That's because the devil has come along and he snatched it away from you. Because you didn't have that deep desire to hear, to understand, and to know what God's will is for your life. Same way with this stony ground. He that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth. And he hath no root in himself, but doeth for a while, when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. So you see the deep meaning of what you and I hear, what you and I see, what you and I have opened our heart to. And we allow that to get deep within our hearts, and we get the deep meaning and the understanding of what it is, then when persecution and trials and tribulations come along, we're able to withstand the fiery darts that he throws at us. But if it's on this stony ground and there's no root, and you just come here and you haven't allowed the word of God to penetrate your heart and to get into there and really make a meaning in your life. And so as a result, you're offended when these problems and difficulties come. This is what he's talking about. The seed doesn't go any farther. It's gone. Same with among the thorns. He heareth the word and careth of the care of this world and the deceitful of riches choke the world, and he becometh unfruitful. Kind of a life we live in this day and age. And that's so true. Isn't that what you see in people? The cares of this world, the concerns. How am I going to make this payment? How am I going to get to school? Whatever the case might be. How am I going to do this? We have cares. We have concerns about this life. We all have them. But if we allow it to overcome us and take it and steal the word away from us, it's going to be like this thorny ground. That's what's going to come up. You're not going to be fruitful in your spiritual life. You're just going to be floating along like the rest of this world. No depth. Is this what you want for your life? Is this what you want to serve God? I don't think so. I don't think so. Allow the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and become unfruitful. A sad case, but unfortunately, there are many. There are many that this category covers. And then, of course, there's the good ground. Is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Good ground. Good ground. You know what good ground is? If you've ever raised a gardener, you know anything about a garden, and your ground is poor soil, and it doesn't produce the way you would like it, is because it needs nutrition. And that's the same way with our lives. We need to be nurtured by the Word of God so that we have good soil. That's what good soil is. And if the soil is good and you plant seeds into the soil and it grows, produces fruit, produces some 100, some 60, some 34, they're not all the same. And we're not all the same. And we're not all going to produce 100. We're not all going to produce 60. We're not all going to produce 30. But the nevertheless, if we have good ground, we are going to produce. What is the fruit that we're looking for? What is the fruit it's talking about? What is this 160 and 30-fold talking about? Well, if you look into Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It gives you a good idea what that is. Love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and so forth. All of those are fruit of the Spirit. Those should be evident in our lives. And if we have the good ground, the Word of God has penetrated us, and we're willing to serve the Lord, those fruits will exhibit themselves. They will nourish, they will grow, if it's in the good ground. The good ground also is the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So this is where we need to focus our lives to make sure that we have good ground to accept this word, to receive it, and let it penetrate our hearts so that we can prosper and grow in grace, in God's mercy, in God's grace, and be fruitful, to be loving, caring one for another, subject to one another. The scripture goes on and on. All those things that it talks about, how we should live our lives. And it's very obvious and very true if we read what it talks about in the Apostle Paul's writings, many of them. He talks about how we should live, how we should, things that we should take, put off, old man, put on the new. And he makes it very clear for us what we should put on, bowels of mercy, kindness, and so forth. We know these things. But if we don't have the good soil, they're not going to bear fruit. It's as simple as that. So we need to nourish the soil that penetrates in our heart. We need to take care of that. How do you do that? It's simple. Read God's word. Focus on it. Penetrate it. Let it penetrate your heart. Study it. Know what it says. All of this contributes to good ground. And then when you come and you hear the word of God, you absorb what is being said. You absorb what is being taught. And this is the reason for having good ground, so that we can absorb it, so that we can be fruitful in God's vineyard. This is His desire. This is His will for our lives. But if we refuse, our heart waxes old, waxes gross, and we choose to let Satan take away, or we allow the riches of this life to take it away, whatever the case might be, Satan will see to it. He will. And that's why he can say here, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And so that's what Christ wanted to teach his disciples. He wanted them to know and understand. And that's why he uses the parable of this, of these different sorts of ground, stones, whatever it might be, how this here all grows, and how they should learn and know and understand. And they did. They did understand it. Because as they become apostles later, after they received the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives, after He rose, they taught. And they wrote. And they taught the people. And they encouraged many to have the good ground. They had the good ground. They knew what the Lord's Lord's will for was for their lives. And that's the words that we have today. That's what makes up this Bible that we have, that we call God's Word. That's all inspired by God. That's all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that will nourish and bring forth good ground. And I'm sure that's everyone, every believer wants for their life. Good ground. But I'm telling you right now, it don't just happen. It don't just happen. We have to concentrate. We have to understand. We have to believe. We have to trust in the Lord. The whole scripture. Take it all. And that way, we'll know that we've got good ground and we can expect fruits. Some 100, some 60, and some 30. May God bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.
Jesus said that our ears are blessed. And truly we can say that we are a blessed people. We have much to be thankful for. God has blessed us very much. And Jesus says the reason we are blessed is because it's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. We know now the whole plan of salvation from the beginning of creation until now. We know this plan of salvation, so we are given to know this mystery of the kingdom of heaven because we have the Bible in its completeness before us, and we've been raised this way. And so, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And so we are those who have this more abundance and know of his goodness and know of his love. Know that what he has done for us, and we want to love him in return because he loved us so much. And so when we're reminded of the scriptures, and Jesus told the one man there that except you forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. But we know what God has for us. It's so much of greater riches than anything that we can have in this life, anything that we can experience, whatever stature or whatever level we may rise to, then that cannot be compared to the riches that can be found in Christ. And so Jesus says, unless we forsake all that we have, we cannot be his disciple. And so we gladly then forsake all that this world would have to offer. And so the word then comes into our hearts and we receive it with joy. And though we might go through some tribulations and some persecutions, we still cling to his word. And though there may be thorns of the cares of this life and those burdens that Brother Bob mentioned, even though we go through those things, we love God more than any of that disappointment or that tribulation that we might go through. We love God because he loved us so much. And we allow his word that we meditate upon, and we allow that word to take root in our heart. And then we ponder on it, and then we do it, and we do what God would have us to do. We hear his spirit speaking to us, and we make a positive difference in other people's lives, and we bear fruit to God's honor and to his glory. And we love him because he loved us. And so I'd just like to close with reading these words that we just sang. Thee will I love, my life forever. Thou art my best and truest friend. Thee will I love and honor ever, no matter what this life may send. O Lamb of God, I will love thee, who on the tree didst die for me. Who on the tree didst die for me. Amen.